Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Flag football. Played some flag football. Maybe you've played some flag football. But will you watch flag football on television? The NFL Network has got the American Flag Football League. This is coming online, and the CEO and founder of the American Flag Football League will be joining us, a guy named Jeff Lewis. They got $1 million cash prize. Vegas. Sportsbooks in Vegas have placed lines on these games. I don't like that. If you're betting on a flag football game, you might have a problem. That might be the marker, because the number of things that you can wager on, the fact that you could wager on former NFL players who are playing flag football is remarkable to me. That's kind of a story, and we'll talk about that with the founder coming up. It's good news at Oregon, where Ruthie Hebert is being told there's no structural damage in that knee of hers. That's good news for the Oregon Ducks women's basketball program and Kelly Graves. So I'm glad that Ruthie is doing good. By the way, the NBA getting back into action and back to practice. Draymond Green, I saw an interview with Draymond Green about not making the... He didn't make the All-Star game. So he had a nice All-Star break. I wonder how that's going to be for Draymond coming back to that team. It's the only hope that the rest of the NBA has. Frankly, that the Warriors... And this is part of the problem. And by the way, maybe I can throw this out as a question. Because you got this flag football league. Would you buy stock in this flag football league? I don't know if I would. I want to talk to the founder here coming up. Would I buy stock in his league if they offered stock? If you could buy stock in only one professional sports league, what would you buy? Because if you would be selling the NFL, I think. Would you buy the NBA? Would you buy NHL? Would you buy Major League Baseball? If you could buy stock in only one professional sports league, what would you buy? Major League Soccer. I think you'd buy Major League Soccer. It's got upside. It's growing. You got Atlanta coming online successfully. Obviously, Portland and Seattle are going well.
I think that's solid. I think the NBA is solid. I mean, they're starting a league in Africa now. It's a solid bet to go to NBA, too.
NBA. I think you'd be really uncertain about Major League Baseball. Kind of like, okay, what's going on with Major League Baseball? I need to see more.
Yeah.
NHL, same thing. Need to see more. I wouldn't touch it.
I wouldn't touch it as a stock. I think the NHL is a solid league that is accepted where they're at.
How about NFL? Are you selling the NFL right now if it's a stock? Like, it's not getting, you know, do you see growth, true growth for the NFL?
Nope.
Kind of is capped out.
I think so.
And it's a behemoth. I get that. But I kind of feel like the NFL is what it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I go, I don't see the growth potential there. Like, you know, maybe if you're, let's say it's a 401k plan and you're 67 years old, you stay in the NFL as a fund because it's solid. It's not going to backtrack too much.
One of the positives about the NBA starting a league in Africa is there's players there. They play the game. If you were to start the NFL teams in Europe, you got to take the players from here and take them over there. Players don't want to play in Europe. And you're not going to find players in Europe that are going to play the NFL, at least that level of competition.
I think I'd be buying Major League Soccer. And I know that sounds like, okay, or you're in Portland, okay, you're pandering to the soccer club. I'm really not. But they're like 10 days away from opening the season. You look at the growth potential in Major League Soccer, I think it's there, and the franchises are very affordable relative to other professional sports teams. So if I have a chance to buy into any one existing professional sports league, if I'm going to buy stock, I'm buying Major League Soccer stock because I see the upside. Jeff Lewis is the CEO and founder of the American Flag Football League. He's buying in big time to flag football, and he's joining us. All right, where were you sitting, and how does this conversation happen when you end up hatching this football league?
Well, first of all, I used to run a broker-dealer, so I know all the rules about securities and stuff, and I can't promote people investing in my league, but boy, are you ever right that this would be the best thing you could buy, if one could, that you could ever buy to participate in football. One of the really interesting things about us, you know, I think everybody saw this really rather stunning news yesterday about that very substantial investment that went into, you know, one of these spring tackle football leagues. And, you know, what's to me fascinating about it is that there isn't any precedent for people in large numbers watching developmental anything. People seem to me to like to watch the people who are the best at something. You know, when we watch curling in the Olympics, we watch the absolute best curlers in the world. And it gets kind of amazing because they have American flags on their chest and they only do it every 4 years. But it's also important that they're actually great at it, right? And it, whether you talk about that or the Little League World Series or watching the NFL or the NBA, or why is there 90% of the crowd at a PGA Tour event following Tiger Woods? Because people like the best, you know? That's really kind of what is worth their time and their attention. So it'll be interesting to me if the guys who are the second best are something that kind of resonates with the public. Our guys will be the best. So to answer your question, this all sort of starts with a kids game because, you know, flag football is basically played at this point by kids and by, you know, sort of college kids and post-college people in like weekend leagues and stuff. And I happened to get connected to it by coaching my son. And when he was 8 or 9 years old, the last play of one of his games was astounding. It was athletic. It was dramatic. It was spectacular. And most sports played by 8-year-olds are none of those things. So I said to myself, it either is the kids or it's the game, and probably it must be the game. And so that sort of led to this whole question of or what does this look like, you know, if it's played by real players. And, you know, a couple of years later, we answered that question by hiring Michael Vick and Terrell Owens and Chad Johnson and all these guys to come out to San Jose to go in this beautiful MLS stadium out there. We got the Fox Sports A-team to produce an 18-camera shoot, and we made a pilot. We said, okay, we're all going to find out what a flag football game looks like when it's played by, you know, world-class athletes. And the response to it was overwhelmingly positive, big numbers, big level of, you know, of how long people watched it. And I honestly, I don't really know the answer to this question, but the fact that people you know, on average in 2018, the game was already between 6 months old and a year and a half old. Nobody had fantasy. Nobody had any gambling. Nobody had a home team. Yet the average amount of time that people watched this game last year was about 50 minutes. You know, I don't know how much time you guys spend on YouTube, how much time your listeners spend on YouTube, but the idea that people would watch almost an hour on average in the million in terms of how many people did it, of a game that doesn't count for the standings, for your fantasy team, for anything, you know, I thought that was kind of an amazing thing. And that's kind of, and that really was the beginning. And so, and that's what kind of launched us then to having our tournament, which we had last year and are going to have again this year.
Guys competing for $1 million. I mean, it has a game show feel for it. I mean, is that, but that really creates true incentive and true meaning, doesn't it?
Well, what's funny is last year, the flag football world, there are some incredible athletes, okay? There are NFL players, D1 players. There are people all over this country. They're really concentrated in Georgia, Florida, Texas, and California, but they're everywhere. We're playing meaningfully intense flag football, and they usually play where they pay $400 or $500 and they try to win 2,000, okay? So when we kind of drop out of thin air with, hey, guys, you can win $1 million, like I think a lot of them didn't even really believe us. And they sure believe us now. We have almost 500 teams that have applied to play in 128-team tournament this year. You know, they're believers now. But it certainly isn't a game show. It's a sport. But, you know, if you think about, there is a little bit of American Ninja Warrior in there, right? There is a little bit of anybody can get a shot. And at the end of the day, you know, sometimes the journey is worth doing it. Even if you aren't going to be the one who wins $1 million, there's an awful lot of positive that arise out of just trying and going that journey, just like something like that.
Jeff Lewis, our guest, CEO and founder of the American Flag Football League. You mentioned 128 teams. How will you pick the final 128?
So, essentially, you can prove your sort of level of play in one of two ways. Either you have a team that has participated in different events or whatever. So there's a kind of upper echelon of flag teams that are kind of known on the tournament circuit, and we know who those guys are, and we also know what when two or three of them start to combine together, which is kind of scary, where, like, you know, maybe one team had four or five really A-plus level players, another team had three, another team had four, and all of a sudden they became one team where they have now got 12 A-plus players. Like, that's easy for us to kind of, you know, to figure out. There's also the possibility that you could kind of show that you deserve to be in there because you went on our social media, hashtag is Flag Scout. You can send videos up there. You can tell us all about why you should be included in the tournament. And at the end of the day, if a team that we've never heard of has a group of athletes that have serious, you know, athletic credentials, they played in the NFL, they were D1 basketball players, you know, whatever their background is, that's certainly going to be very compelling to us to tell us that they could play at a really high level. And, you know, we actually admitted our first 16 teams last Thursday. We'll be admitting another 15 or 16 tomorrow through our social media, AFFL.com and @flagfootball is our social handle. And so we'll be making another announcement tomorrow, and we'll continue every week on Thursday to let teams know that they've been admitted to the tournament. It's not easy, you know, to have, you know, nearly, you know, over four times as many teams basically as we have spots for this year. You know, it's a tough thing. We don't like telling anybody they can't play, and I think you'll probably see that next season the tournament will grow. Next year we'll probably have more than 128.
You've got the deal with NFL Network to televise. You've obviously had some big names in that game that's on YouTube with Michael Vick and Terrell Owens. But I think the moment where you really arrive will be when some unheralded team of, like you mentioned, those guys that just play in those leagues, knocks off somebody that we've all heard about. And we go, hey, that's compelling television. That's interesting to me. Could that happen in year one?
Yep. Well, that actually happened last year. So that was a setup question. You did a good job. So in our first tournament last year, there were 128 amateur teams, and the team that won that side was called Fighting Cancer. They're a group of guys from New Orleans who are a legendary flag team who probably have lost one game out of hundreds, if not a thousand, that they've played together. And the professional team that won our sort of small professional bracket that had four teams of NFL players was a terrifically talented team. It had Seneca Wallace, Javid Best, Jason Avant. They were loaded with talent. And that Fighting Cancer team won 26-6. They won $1 million, winner take all. And it was actually, you know, they played amazing. And what was surprising was how not so much that they were so much more cohesive because they played together for years and years. And these other guys were really forced to kind of try to compete with them with only a limited amount of familiarity. But what was surprising was that the Fighting Cancer players were, by and large, as athletic as these NFL players. Yeah. These NFL players were all 1-2 years out. They were not, you know, 45, 50-year-old, you know, named players who were like, oh, yeah, I remember him. No, these were guys in game shape. Jason Avant was on Ninja Warrior last summer, okay? I mean, the guy is a specimen. These guys were in fine fighting kit, and that was really the eye-opener, was that the Fighting Cancer guys could run with them. And there are scores and scores of guys out there, especially when you don't have to weigh what you have to weigh to handle all the contact. When all of a sudden you can be a little bit lighter, a little bit smaller, and it's all about your quickness, your acceleration, your hand-eye, and it's not necessarily about you also weighing 50 pounds more than the average person does at your height, you know, that really opens up the box. The best player in the whole tournament was the quarterback of Fighting Cancer, a guy who's 5'8", 140 pounds, probably soaking wet. And, you know, ran down an NFL wide receiver from behind who had a 10-yard head start in a 50-yard run. So, there's a really, really high level of ability out there. And in the same way that all of those shows, Ninja Warrior or American Idol or The Voice or whatever, uncovers people of truly world-class talent, because it's America and there's so many people who, for whatever reason, have never yet been discovered. There's nothing that says that we won't be able to go on that journey of discovery over and over and over, that there are people who are currently essentially living ordinary lives who have extraordinary athletic talent, and maybe they weren't tall enough for the NBA or thick enough for the NFL, but they're athletic enough to basically be as good as anybody in the world playing football once it's flag instead of tackle.
Jeff Lewis, CEO and founder of the American Flag Football League. I want you to leave it right here. You got the bald face truth. Now I've upset some of the former guests of this show who were listening when I said, if I don't keep you for 15 or 18 minutes. Sometimes there's extenuating circumstances, all right? If you're a guest in the show and there's another guest that's following you, I need to stay on time. That would be another reason why I cut you short. I should just be quiet. I get myself in trouble. That's why my wife doesn't like me talking about anything that has to do, like my daughter, my 16-year-old, she's like, Dad, don't talk about me on the show. Because her teachers listen, her friends listen. I'll say something nice. I'll say, like, my kid is a nicer person than me. And it's the telephone game. She's 16. She's a nicer human being. She's genuinely, every person she comes into contact with, she genuinely cares about them. It is weird to me. Like, we'll go through the Dutch Bros drive-thru. She cares about that person that, like, deeply cares, like, hey, how's your day going? Not just a, hey, how are you? It's, she'll ask questions of them. She'll, you know, I told her a story yesterday in the car. There was a kid I went to high school with. His name was Patrick. And he was really awkward. He was really awkward kid. And I think about him now and then. I wonder what happened to him, what became of Patrick, because Patrick really needed a friend in high school. And he was really awkward, and he would open his mouth, and he would say stuff, and you'd just go, oh, Patrick, you're not helping yourself. Like, everybody would make fun of him. And I remember sitting by him one day, and I told my daughter, I said, I gave him the advice. I said, Patrick, you might consider saying less, letting people think you're a little shy. It's probably better than awkward, because he was complaining, why does everybody think I'm awkward? And she said, that's horrible advice, Dad. That's horrible advice. It probably made him feel bad. And I said, well, you're a better human being than me. What will come of that is somebody listening who knows her will say, your dad was talking about you on the radio. And they'll misconstrue the conversation or my point. They'll say, I said she was goody-goody or something. And she'll be like, Dad, just don't talk about me. There I did. I broke a rule. But what happens is, I don't have a filter. I was not born with a filter that keeps me from saying what's on my mind. And at times, it's probably entertaining, and maybe it makes me good at what I do. At other times, it gets me in trouble with the neighbors. So, you know, I'm sure everyone in my neighborhood has had issue with me at some point.
I'm always curious about what's going on at your house with your wife and your children with what you say sometimes.
It's interesting because sometimes I don't think she's listening. And then I'll say something. One time, I got in big trouble. Years ago, I was asked, I was making the point, which I think is an accurate point, that we all have strengths and weaknesses, okay? All of us do. I have strengths and weaknesses. I think everybody does. So I made the point that, hey, what's wrong with saying we're not great at everything? Why do we all have to pretend that we're great at everything? Oh, we're great at, we're all walking around faking. A lot of fakers out there. And John Strong, the voice of American soccer, who was sitting in that very chair that you're in, folded his arms and leaned back, and he said, okay, then, what's Anna's weaknesses? And
good for John Strong.
I answered honestly at the time. And I didn't think it would get me in any trouble at all.
You didn't?
No.
Because
this is what I said. This is what I said. She's smarter than me. She is smarter than me. I can't play a game of Scrabble against her. She destroys me. She's extremely creative. If I were a business or a politician or a sports team, I'd hire her as a media strategist today. She's gets called upon in that capacity a lot. Like people will call her, prominent people who are having issues in the media will call her for advice, and she just gives it away. And I'm like, you need to be, you know, a consultant for somebody. But I said on the show, I said, she probably isn't the greatest cook because it's not that important to her. Okay? I got home. She was mad. And guess what she did? This is her personality. She became an excellent cook. That's what she does. That's what she does. So I should have said, like, you know what? She doesn't know how to change the motor oil on a car. But hour later, she'd be in the driveway changing the motor oil. Guaranteed. All right. Get a podcast of this show. SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you go. And wherever you may be, give us a rating, subscribe, and we will catch you back tomorrow.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.